You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday. Spent a lot of time talking about the Patriots, Tom Brady coming back to town. Check in with the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Brian Kelly will join us, head coach. I got Cincinnati coming up. Brian used to coach at Cincinnati. Dun, dun. Not exactly the same as Brady coming back to New England, but, you know, we'll try to hype it as best we can. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. We have a new poll question, I believe, for hour two. McLovin, give the results of the first poll question and the new one.
If you could go back in time and be a beat reporter for one of these teams, which would be the Patriots, Cavaliers, or SEC football, Patriots are 74%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thought-provoking poll.
All right.
Which of these quarterbacks is most likely to end his career going wire to wire with the same team? Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, or Matt Ryan?
Ben Roethlisberger, because he's not going anyplace else. If you can't play in Pittsburgh, nobody is going to take Ben Roethlisberger. Russell Wilson, I don't think, ends his career in Seattle. Matt Ryan, I'm going to say he ends his career in Atlanta. I thought that there was some doubt if they did take a quarterback, but I would say Matty Ice ends it in Atlanta and Big Ben. You know, I look back on what the Steelers could have done in the offseason. You don't like Mason Rudolph. You're taking a flyer on Dwayne Haskins. Ben, you know, was supposed to be new and improved in the Tom Brady TB12 diet and pliability, and he shaved his beard, and everybody went, God, Ben looks great. He looks great because he doesn't look like he's in ZZ Top anymore. I mean, he could be Chris Stapleton's doppelganger, the country singer. Like, come on, let's go. Like, man, he looks like he's in shape. He shaved his beard. Chris Stapleton probably has more mobility than
wow.
Ben does.
Wow.
But they could have gotten Gardner Minshew. That's a sixth-round draft pick. If you don't like Duck Devlin or Josh Dobbs or Dwayne Haskins, then why not get somebody? Get somebody who is a legitimate NFL quarterback just in case this doesn't work out. I mean, you're a playoff team from a year ago. I mean, it's going to be odd. It's going to be awkward. If Ben continues to spiral down, the offense doesn't do anything, then they're going to have decisions to make. Ben will have a decision to make. Does he want to be a backup? Is he willing to be a backup? Is he willing to be benched? Is there somebody you're going to put in who's so much better than Ben Roethlisberger? Everybody's overreacting to the end is near for Ben. We know that. I wouldn't have brought him back this year. Said that. But he's here. It's three games. Let me wait. You got three games coming up, and then you have a bye week. I know that everybody looks back and goes, hey, they won 11 in a row to start the season. Yes. Yes. And they almost beat Cleveland in a playoff game. I got all of that. I wouldn't overreact to Ben to the point where I go, who are we putting in there? When do we plan the retirement ceremony? Like, let's just wait a little bit here. And then maybe it's not going to work out. But why didn't you get Gardner Minshew? Sixth round draft pick. He can play. And he can be a bridge quarterback. And you can make the playoffs, I believe, with Gardner Minshew. But here you are, ready to go. Let's move on from Ben Roethlisberger. Let me wait a little bit here. All right, so I would say Ben will end his career because he's not going to play elsewhere. Yes, Eden.
Why aren't the Falcons any good?
I don't know.
What is that's like one of the biggest mysteries to me in NFL history is why
28-3, Seton.
They aren't winning lots of games.
28-3.
Because I was starting to think, you're like, does Matty Ice finish his career there? And in my head, I was thinking, no, you know what? He might want to pull a Tom Brady, go someplace, he can get some weapons around him, and he can, oh, wait, that's Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he kind of had that his whole career.
Yeah. They drafted Kyle Pitts. I mean, and I know I've said I thought Atlanta could be one of those borderline playoff teams. I thought that they would be a lot more competitive than people think. It's only three games. It's only three games. 3 weeks. That's it. We're going to look back in 10 weeks and go, man, we thought that. There'll be some crazy, crazy declarations. They're already every week. You got to have a hot take. But I would just let's slow down just a little bit here after three games. What if the Buccaneers are 2-2 after four games? What if they lose to New England? How do people react to that? What if the Chiefs lose another game in the next couple of weeks? How are we going to react to that? Vegas still says the Chiefs are the favorites for the Super Bowl, followed by Tampa Bay. And that's right. That's correct. Because let me see how it plays out with the Rams. Let me get 10 games in, see how they play. How healthy are they? How's the rest of the division? That's where, you know, people don't handicap. Before this season started, and people thought Aaron Rodgers, he's going to come back, he's going to play, and he's on his redemption revenge tour, and that you're going to just plug in 13 wins. And I said, did anybody look at the schedule? Like, it's a tough schedule. And if they won 11, I think Vegas had them at 10 or 11, maybe, at the most. It's hard. Hard to win those games. Even Dallas in a bad division. Should they win 12 games? Probably. Or it's not out of the realm of possibilities, in my opinion. Not a difficult schedule, not a difficult division. And you seem to have a good enough offense to cover up what you may lack on defense. But, by the way, the Mike McCarthy calling a timeout, clock management. Peyton Manning said this on Monday night, where we're all watching and we're all saying the same thing. Mike, got to call timeout. Here's Peyton Manning.
Dallas needs to call timeout. I don't think they probably don't know if Philly's going to go for it or not, right?
You doesn't get matter. Nervous there. Call timeout, Mike.
Call timeout. He's thinking about it. Why? Is someone in his ear? Does he have like the clock management guy saying, hey, we can't call it here? It's not.
Well, last week they couldn't see the clock with the Chargers. They couldn't even see the clock. So maybe tonight they can't see it either. They are playing at home, but I guess they're going to be happy with 20-7.
Okay. It feels like Peyton and Eli made this a bigger deal. By the way, does Peyton Manning sound a little bit like Jimmy Stewart, the great actor? Could you give me a little?
Mike needs to call a timeout, sir.
You gotta call a timeout there. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't think he thinks that Omaha. I don't think he thinks the Eagles are going to go for it.
Dallas needs to call timeout.
I don't think they probably don't know if Philly's going to go for it or not, right?
You doesn't get matter. Nervous there. Call timeout, Mike.
Call timeout. He's thinking about it. Why? Is someone in his ear? Does he have like the clock management guy saying, hey, we can't call it here? It's not.
Well, last week they couldn't see the clock with the Chargers. They couldn't even see the clock. So
they couldn't see the clock.
They're all playing at home.
Sorry, what's the big idea here, fella?
Mr. Potter. Omaha. All right, here's Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, on Mike McCarthy's clock management.
Other teams have issues with clock management. That's part of the game. And so let's cut things some slack and realize that if you do enough plays, we were critical of Garrett when he was here. And don't you think that goes with the territory? I know firsthand Mike's capabilities and have know how he approaches it, the logic that he uses, and I'm not a bit concerned about his ability to manage a tight situation.
I don't want to hear that other coaches or other teams have issue. I only care about my coach. That's it. It's like when your kid uses an excuse to say, well, somebody else is allowed to do this, or they got in trouble, and then you'd always say, well, if somebody jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? My parents would always say that. You know? If Steve Wolf jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff?
Wolf was an issue.
Yeah, he was.
Ours was the Brooklyn Bridge. Well, if he jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you go?
Yeah. I don't care about anybody else's clock management. I care about my coach. And do I think it's a big issue? No. But is it an issue when a game is on the line or time is winding down? And it's only the first half, but it was at the end of the game against the Chargers. I couldn't see the clock. Okay, at what point do you say during the game, when you're coaching, I can't see the clock, I need somebody to help me? Because you might say, look, my sight line is not good with this new stadium. I need somebody to keep me honest. Because we're watching that game and we're going, he's just letting this tick down, tick down. And then admitted afterwards, I couldn't see the clock. Yeah, Paul.
It's possible Jerry Jones is not familiar with the Green Bay Packers and Mike McCarthy's history of clock management. Because any Packers fan listening right now will tell you that was one of the biggest chips against him during his time there. He had a bunch of those back in the Green Bay day. And it's really possible that Jerry doesn't know. He doesn't watch a lot of Packers games on the side back in the day.
Yeah. Well, to me, it'd be a big deal. I want my coach to be, it's all about detail. The NFL, when you coach, is attention to detail. Because the smallest thing will help you win or it can cost you a game. Somewhere down the road. 877-3DP show, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP show. By the way, the latest episode of That Scene, I talk with Bill Burr about his role in the Star Wars series The Mandalorian, and fans push back because he had a Boston accent. Here's Bill Burr.
I've gotten pretty much nothing but positive reviews. I did get some crap about my accent, where someone's like, I've never heard a Boston accent in outer space. And I was just like, well, how about English? Doesn't it seem weird that you would travel that far away from Earth and everyone's speaking English? C-3PO has an English accent. It's like, stop it. You just know that that's where I'm from. Because the reality is I don't have a Boston accent. I have a slight one. But I have an East Coast sort of. But they're making it seem like I was, out there being like, dude, grab your lightsaber.
We talked about a lot of things, including his approach to acting and how different that is from stand-up. And you can check it out, the entire interview. Amazon.com/That Scene with Bill Burr. Fred in West Virginia. Hi, Fred. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. Appreciate you guys taking my call. First-time caller. Long-time listener. I wanted to say a couple things about Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
I agree with everything you said, number one. I think that for years, Ben has come in to the start of the season not in shape, and it takes him three or four games to get in shape.
Okay.
Second one, if he had Tommy John surgery... and I'm a Steelers fan. I love Ben. I love the Rooneys, whatever. It sure doesn't look like it. His arm doesn't look much stronger. And when the Raiders were pounding the heck out of him, he looked terrible. I mean, you could tell every hit he got, he felt. Not sure whether the Steelers have done what they normally do. Don't be wrong, a perfect organization, great organization, but I think they dropped the ball with Ben here.
I do too. I wouldn't have brought him back, but they brought him back at a discount. And for some reason, I guess they think or they thought, obviously, that, hey, we can make another playoff run. I just think with the number of quarterbacks who are available, and then you took a running back, and Najee Harris might be turn out to be a very good running back. But he's a first-round draft pick at that position. Did you need a little more help on the offensive line? Was there somebody there you could have gotten that would have helped you? Ben cannot do this without a really good offensive line. And I think that as much as we like that defense and they got playmakers there, Ben is not moving. He's not moving around at all. Not that he could, but he gets it out quickly. Their average yard per play is probably among the lowest as far as pass plays. It's very quick. And he targeted Najee Harris, I think, 17 times. That shouldn't be your go-to guy unless you're just trying to have 2 yards, 3 yards, 5 yards. Yes, McLovin.
Do you remember in 2019, Big Ben got hurt and they went around and traded for Minka Fitzpatrick? They gave up.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, we're not going to tank. He's big. They could have tanked that year and drafted a quarterback.
Yeah, but Fitzpatrick has been really good for them. But, they thought they had magic last year. And I think there are a lot of analysts who looked at the Steelers and said they're undefeated, but they're not invincible. They're not a great team.
But is that like when the Giants took Saquon Barkley because they thought they could get one more run out of Eli?
Yeah.
Like at some point, you got to start over a quarterback.
I know. And I was all in on the Giants taking Saquon because I thought, okay, that helps Eli, got a safety valve. You got a team that looks like, and they spent all that money on their defense. I thought, okay, there's some magic here. They might be able to pull this off. Obviously, it didn't go as scripted. Yes, Paul.
How much could this be about loyalty? Tomlin's got a quarterback who's been there, and I know he won Super Bowls a long time ago, but Roethlisberger has two. If you remember the last few years of Dan Marino in South Florida, they should have moved on from Dan Marino, but he's a huge legend, a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And that was back in the day when they didn't replace guys. This is kind of anti-Bill Belichick, anti-teams moving on.
But that is a loyal franchise. You know, they've had, what, three head coaches? And maybe to a fault. You know, the Giants are the same way. I thought that they held on to Eli too long. Loyal to a fault. And then you wake up and you go, now what do we do? And then you got to start over again. Those franchises aren't used to starting over. You know, rebuilding, reloading. There's a big difference. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, then you have like guys like Kyle Shanahan, I think famously want a new quarterback every 6 weeks, you know.
Or John Gruden.
Gruden.
John Gruden's got Derek Carr playing at an MVP level. And John Gruden would probably say, man, I'd love to have Aaron Rodgers or I'd love to have Kyler. You know, John is never happy with the quarterback he has, it feels like. And he won the Super Bowl. He didn't have a great quarterback when he won the Super Bowl. Yeah, Paul.
It's going to be interesting to see the options. You just mentioned Shanahan. Garoppolo is having a nice season, but his future is not there. A team like the Steelers could pick him up for a third-round draft choice, and he's not that terribly expensive.
I remember talking to somebody who knows Sam Darnold, and I think he thought that Pittsburgh was a viable opportunity for him because he could go there. If they didn't keep Ben, then you got somebody you can put in. And also, if he was going to be the backup, because Ben would know that he had one more year. But, you know, you go, hey, Washington doesn't want Dwayne Haskins. Let's take him. Gardner Minshew makes more sense, or at least it's a sixth-round draft pick for a guy that I think would keep you in playoff contention if they would decide to go to the bench. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get some more phone calls coming up. We'll talk about the Lakers media day where, yes, age was the big topic of conversation. When we return, he's the winningest coach in Notre Dame history. Brian Kelly will join us back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Hottest rookies, biggest superstars, all-time greats, only one place to collect them all, Panini Trading Cards, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Got a box yesterday, opened it up like a kid. You know, when you were getting those cards and you're opening them up and you're like, oh, I got this one. Oh, I got that one. Oh, got that one. Yeah, it was pretty good. Tom Brady returns to Foxborough, mega matchup against his former team. Joe Burrow Thursday night versus Trevor Lawrence. Marquee matchups in week 4 that could have a huge impact on the football card market. Autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, the hottest rookie cards, something for everyone in Panini America packs. You also have Big Ben versus Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl 45 rematch. We're kind of stretching it a little bit there with that Super Bowl 45 rematch. Yes, Todd.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Todd. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Make sure you go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Notre Dame beat Wisconsin 41-13. It's one of those games where I went, man, it's pretty close. Then I walked away, did something else. I came back and I go, whoa, this got out of hand quickly. Notre Dame will host Cincinnati on Saturday. With that win, Brian Kelly became the winningest head coach in Notre Dame history with win number 106, breaking the previous record held by Newt Rockne, the Hall of Famer. Brian Kelly joining us on the program. How did you celebrate that victory, coach?
Bumper to bumper. bumper traffic getting out of Chicago on our bus. You know, it and deep dish pizza from Chicago on the bus. So it was kind of neat because it took me back to my roots as a Division II head coach. Bus rides, you know, it's like AAA baseball. We took the bus back from Chicago to South Bend and got a chance to be on the bus with the guys. So it was real. It felt great to be able to celebrate it on a bus ride back to South Bend with your teammates and your coaches.
How many times have you gone into a game not thinking you could win that game?
Not many. You know, I've coached, you know, well over 300 games, and I can't remember many that I've gone in and said, we have no chance of winning this game. Maybe I could probably count them on my hand where I felt like it was that overwhelming odds against our football team. And now, truth be told, there were probably way more many games than that. It's just, I'm just not wired that way. I just go in thinking that we're going to find a way to win.
But at Notre Dame, have you felt like that? If it was a playoff game, did you think, oh my God, I don't like our, even though you want to win, you coach to win, but is there in back of your mind, you're like, I hope this doesn't get out of hand.
Maybe in 2012, the Alabama Notre Dame national championship game, I knew we were in a, you know, an uphill climb there. We were only 3 years in into rebuilding the program here. And, you know, we got there quickly with playing for a championship. And, you know, that Alabama team was obviously one of the best in a long, long time. That a lot of things would have had to gone right there. So that was probably the one time when I was at Notre Dame where I felt like this is going to be an uphill climb.
And it's almost like you guys were ahead of schedule. And you got to that national title game because, you know, people talk about, okay, can Notre Dame, you know, have the speed, you know, can they match the offensive and defensive lines of SEC teams? And how do you go out and try to establish that at Notre Dame?
Well, we still have to recruit to our profile. And so it's player development. It's the ability to recruit to Notre Dame at a higher level than we had been recruiting up to that point, and then developing your players over a long period of time. And, you know, the last two drafts, we've had 10 players drafted. That's as high as Alabama and Ohio State. And that's where we need to be to have the kind of players necessary to compete at that stage. So it wasn't 3 years into it that we were having that kind of depth in drafts. And so we knew that we were there early, like you said, and it just requires more time in recruiting, and you got to win, right? We couldn't just celebrate our past success. We had to win, and that attracts, obviously, the kids to come to Notre Dame as well.
How long do you plan on coaching?
You know, I've never said this is the day that I'm going to stop coaching because I love the relationships. I love 18 to 21-year-old players that are growing every day, making mistakes, learning from them. That's what's exciting. Everybody was asking me about the Wisconsin win and breaking Rocky's record, and I totally understand that because it's such a milestone. But I was so excited about some of our younger players and how they grew in that game, and that's the honest truth. So that's what keeps me going. And if they're still listening to me, Dan, and I'm still excited, I'll keep coaching for as long as they keep listening.
How do you keep up with younger kids, like 18-year-old? How do you relate to an 18-year-old?
I think you have to stay close to them, and you can't be locked up in meeting rooms. You've got to be in the training room with them. You've got to be in the players' lounge, in the locker room.
But you're not doing TikTok dances or anything like that, are you?
No, I don't think you have to, but you better know TikTok and you better know current trends. And, you know, I've got some college age kids myself. And I said this the other day in a press conference, when I hear, you know, some urban slang, I'll immediately text my college age kids and ask them what that means just so I can stay current on what's going on.
What coach did you take the most from, try to emulate?
You know, Dan, I've been asked this question a lot. I don't know that I emulated anybody as much as, you know, there were so many mentors in my life growing up because I was a head coach at 28 years old. And I was so focused on trying to figure out, you know, who I was and what I was doing that I would listen to anybody that I respected, whether you were a coach or not, a parent, somebody in our office, anybody that I had respect for, I was listening to them and trying to build my own identity and philosophy as a young coach.
How important was it to schedule a game with Cincinnati?
Well, I don't know that there was an importance. I felt like, you know, when we were talking about scheduling future opponents, I'm like, why don't we get Central Michigan, where I coached and we won a championship, and let's get Cincinnati and get them on the schedule as well. Just because I just felt like a sense of, you know, thank you for the opportunity that I got to coach there. I'm not as excited about that decision in playing Cincinnati now, but, you know, it's a great program and Luke's done a great job there. And, you know, it turns out now it's going to be a great matchup.
Were you a Patriot fan growing up?
I am. Yeah. And I still am.
Do you have any conversations with Belichick?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. We stay close. Yeah. We've stayed close over the years.
How often do you talk to him?
Probably every couple of months.
And you're talking, you're acting like Belichick now. You're not answering, you know, it's not a long-winded question here, Brian.
We'll talk about games, you know. You know, he'll text me about how we played and I'll text him back and you know, it's football related stuff, certainly, about how we're doing. And we work a lot together with our foundations as well. And that's really what's gotten us close. My wife and his fiance are really close in terms of working their foundations together. So that's how that relationship formed. And we've stayed in contact because of that.
But when Notre Dame plays Navy, is he rooting for Navy?
He's got a deep relationship with Navy. There's no doubt there. You know, it goes back with his dad and where he was from. And I think he stays out of the rooting business. He's much more into how games are played tactically. And I think you guys see that from your perspective, too. He doesn't get too emotional about who he's pulling for as much as how the game's played.
I think he ends up at Navy when he's done with the NFL for some reason.
I hope not, because we play him. that would be one reason for us not to play Navy.
And all of a sudden, Notre Dame is taking Navy off its schedule.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you're going to Vegas next year.
We are. We're really excited about that. And I know, you know, our Shamrock Series, which travels around the country and plays in, you know, great venues. This venue, Allegiant Stadium, and playing in Vegas, you know, we're playing BYU. It's going to be a great environment. We're really looking forward to it.
Great to talk to you, and good luck against Cincinnati, and congratulations.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
That's Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, the winningest coach in Notre Dame history. All of a sudden, I ask about Belichick, and he started answering questions like Belichick. Like, come on, coach. You don't have to answer questions like him. I'm just going to say we're on to Cincinnati here. I'm looking forward to Thursday night game on the NFL Network.
What game is that this week?
Oh, come on, Paul.
Being faux.
The Bengals and the Jags?
Come on.
I am. I wasn't excited about Carolina. I have to admit, I was not. You know, hey, let's tune in to watch Sam Darnold. Okay. And then Christian McCaffrey gets hurt, and I go, not that much to see here. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. Bengals are 2-1. Jags, do they get a win? Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Urban Meyer recruited Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow leaves, wins the Heisman, national title game. How am I doing? Am I selling it?
Crushing it.
Yeah.
7.5. Your Bengals are giving 7.5 to the Jags.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
Do the Carolina Panthers, by the way, have a bit of an AFC South feel?
Yes, they do.
They have that color scheme going?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. By the way, this weekend, a game, everyone's excited for New England and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
How about Indianapolis Colts at Miami Dolphins? That's basically an inner squad scrimmage. I mean, I'm serious. Like, that might as well be a preseason practice where they get together.
I think I could top it. How about the Washington football team at the Atlanta Falcons?
That is also has a similar feel. But, I mean, Indianapolis and Miami, they have the same players. They just go back and forth. Jacoby Brissett, which team's your quarterbacking? Who cares? Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
It's true.
How about Titans, Jets?
Ooh.
Oh, but don't you feel like Jaguars, Bengals is right in that mix?
No.
I mean, if Jaguars, Bengals was a 1 o'clock game this weekend, you probably wouldn't watch it.
Oh, yeah, I have to.
You're crazy.
That game should be noon on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, they should have that on Saturday at noon.
When remember Washington played the Giants on Thursday night the other day? I was thinking to myself, if this is 1 o'clock on Sunday, how many people are going to tune into that national?
Yeah. I know Tampa, New England is obviously the big one. Arizona at the Rams. Rams, is there a little bit of a letdown after the win against Tampa Bay? Cardinals 3-0, Rams 3-0. How about Carolina at Dallas? Carolina's defense, Panthers undefeated. They're not allowing many points. 10 points a game. Pittsburgh at Green Bay? The last stand for Ben?
All right.
Colts, Miami? All right, maybe not. Just some of the other games there. Yeah, Paul.
Lions at Bears. Bears are using new quarterback every play.
Nobody cares.
That's what I'm saying. It's that bad.
I think we care because we want to see if Justin Fields is going to play. I guess he's got a hand injury. But I thought the Lions were going to beat the Ravens last week. I don't know if this is one of those that they just demoralized. And maybe Justin Fields looks good. Is he going to play or is it going to be Nick Foles in there? Maybe use all three at the same time. Have three quarterbacks on the field at the same time. Yes, McLovin.
I'm pretty excited for my Eagles. They only have 27 players injured and they're going up against a very angry Chiefs team this week on a short week. That's great. After the Phillies lose, this is great stuff for Philly.
Cardinals-Rams, I think, is sneaky good. I think it's sneaky good. By the way, Peacock original drama, Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol. Harvard symbologist Robert Langdon must solve a series of deadly puzzles to stop a global conspiracy. You can stream every action-packed moment now only on Peacock. Go to peacocktv.com to sign up. Phone calls coming up. Update our poll results. Take a break. Back after this in The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got some great items. Go to danpatrick.com. Check out all the gear we have. And if there's any issues with anything you buy, let us know. We'll make good on it. Okay? You have my word. Yeah, Paul.
If you're not entertained by the limericks, you can't return.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's not included.
Yeah.
If you don't like Todd's limericks, then I can't guarantee entertainment with Todd's limericks. Yes, Todd.
But it still works nicely. If you're lazy, you don't want to bother going to a card store and dealing with that. At the very least, it's all right there for you to send out, whether you actually like them or not.
Yeah, it's a bundle of limericks. That means if you want to send out a card for somebody's birthday, his or hers, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year, or win or lose, we celebrate the bundle of limericks. You don't have to buy greeting cards the rest of the year. They're right there, danpatrick.com. Yes, Paul.
And have you ever not gotten your wife a card on her birthday or anniversary? and the fallout from that.
Yeah.
You could have a present, no card.
Yeah.
The fallout's big.
Yeah. Yeah, Seton.
And I like that Todd is taking it upon himself to turn Thanksgiving into a card-related holiday. Yeah. Most people don't give cards for Thanksgiving. It's not a very popular Todd.
No.
Getting right in there.
The time has come. If there's a Peanuts gang, you know, TV show about it, then it deserves, I think, some kind of a good limerick point. Card.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Paulie, today, this morning, you know, there are times when we have topics where you go, wow, I didn't think we would be getting upset about that. Paulie goes, I got a take on The Bachelor. Got a new host. I said, wait, you got a problem with Jesse Palmer, who was on The Bachelor? And like, what's the deal?
So Jesse Palmer was an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
He was a contestant on The Bachelor, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And it's fair to say he's an extremely good-looking guy. Is that collective wisdom?
I call him handsome.
I would say extremely handsome.
All right.
Is that fair?
He's not my type. Let's just put it that way. I like starting quarterbacks, not backup quarterbacks.
He's not really my type either, but he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
Yeah, all extremely right. good-looking. Okay. I think it's a great move for Jesse for his career. It's a great franchise. He's going to make a lot of dough. Everyone's going to love him. This is terrible by the Bachelor franchise. One of the things that's most important on The Bachelor is that the host is not better looking than The Bachelor.
Mm.
And the odds are now that the host, Jesse Palmer, is going to be better looking than the guy competing with all the women. Ooh. So when the 30 women are there getting sauced up in the house in Los Angeles, they're going to, and at the rose ceremony is going on, they're looking right past Jimmy Jimerson and right towards the hunky Canadian, Jesse Palmer. The one great thing about Chris Harrison was he was average looking. He wasn't bad looking. He wasn't great looking. He'll admit that. He's a nice looking guy.
Okay.
He's clean cut. He had good hair.
Okay.
But he wasn't threatening to The Bachelor.
All right.
That is a terrible move. Great for Jesse Palmer. Bad for the concept.
Hmm. It would be weird if they had a Bachelorette episode and then she walked over and gave Jesse Palmer a rose.
Like, it's going to happen.
That would be a little bit weird.
Ooh.
But is Jesse married?
Oh, no. He better be.
I met his girlfriend in New York.
He's about to have 30 new ones.
Yeah, at least. I went to dinner with him one night in Santa Monica. Whew. You had women walking by just wanting to get noticed by Jesse Palmer. I'm going, dude, what is going on? He goes, yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, God. A woman dropped off her phone number at our table. We're just sitting there talking, and you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, this woman goes, I really loved you on The Bachelor. Gave him phone number. I go, really? He goes, yeah, yeah.
These rose ceremonies, the girl's going to walk the wrong direction.
I know. Now, this is a long time ago that I was with Jesse when we were in Santa Monica. Nothing recent. Yes, McLevin.
I see him as engaged to Emily Fardo, which you're not going to believe what she does for a living.
She's a model.
Yes.
She certainly looked like a model when I met her in New York. Yes. A very, very nice woman. But
yeah, that's who you met. Okay.
Yes. And I wish Jesse nothing but success there. On
he's going to have a lot of success.
He's going to have excess on there. Let me see. Oh, I was going to bring this up with Lakers had their media day, and age, of course, was a big topic that came up. I'll talk about this coming up at the top of the hour. We'll hear from Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis. They talk about, and this is going to be an issue, and rightfully so. LeBron said that he got vaccinated, wasn't sure if he was going to get vaccinated, but got vaccinated. But he's not going to be a spokesperson for other players getting vaccinated. And I think it's tricky because, you know, LeBron has to have an opinion on everything, it feels like. Like, now we expect him to have one. And for, you know, most causes, he will give an opinion. This one, he's sort of staying in the shadows because here's Kyrie, who's got a powerful position with the Players Association. And Kyrie is not all in on getting vaccinated, although there are reports that some of his teammates are trying to get him to get vaccinated so he can play home games this year. I mean, LeBron said, hey, look, I want to win championships. What's the best way to get a championship? Everybody stays healthy. That's why I got vaccinated. Yeah, Paul.
First time Kyrie's ever passed up a shot.
Wow.
That's
T-ball.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Gunner.
Pretty good. I like that. And then you got Wiggins with Golden State. You still have the drama. I had a former coach. We got into the Ben Simmons discussion. We were going to have Ray Allen on today. Couldn't do it. He's going to join us tomorrow. I want to know if he could help Ben Simmons with his shot. How would he help Ben Simmons with his shot? And I was talking to this former NBA coach, assistant coach, and I said, so where's Ben end up? And he goes, well, he wants the offense built around him. That's not going to happen in Portland. That won't happen in Sacramento. That won't happen in Washington. And I said, well, where can it happen? He goes, maybe Houston, but, you know, Houston, it's got a rookie who is good. You know, it's going to be built around him more so than it would be Ben Simmons. I was told, you keep talking about Golden State on your show. He goes, I don't see that happening because Ben wants the offense surrounding. He wants to be the offense. And you know, he doesn't like playing with Joel Embiid because it all funnels into Joel Embiid. Ben wants to get on the break. He wants to take it down the lane. And, you know, that's really important to him. And I said, well, where's he end up? And he goes, I think he would make Bradley Beal a better player, but Bradley Beal is going to be the main guy. And I said, well, he's not going to be traded for Damian Lillard. Portland has terrible defense, so does Sacramento. He could help both of those teams. I just don't know. Are you giving up De'Aaron Fox? And if you are, do you want him in Philadelphia? Like, you're trying to make this fit. And I think that's the difficult part here. If this is a power play by Ben Simmons, but this happens every year in the NBA, somebody will go, I'm not going to play for you. I don't want to go there. I don't know if Ben Simmons can find the right place for him. I think he can find a team. I don't know if it's going to be the place where he goes, now I can go out there and get 30 points a game. Now I can be the guy who dominates a game. I think in his mind, from what I'm told, that's what he wants to do. That's who he thinks he is in the NBA. Yeah, Paul.
Based off what you're reading and hearing, do you think he wants to play a pure point guard position?
I don't think it's called a point. It wouldn't be. I think it's a hybrid.
But outside to inside. Outside first to inside. More like a Magic Johnson in his heyday. Outside first, inside second. Great post ability.
No, I think he wants to. I think he wants to have the ability to get ahead of steam to beat you to the hoop. He's not a shooter, obviously, but he loves that in transition. He's wonderful. But, you know, former assistant coach said, you know, even in a half court, Ben can break you down off the dribble. Like, he really can be a matchup nightmare. It's just, you know, and he knows, he doesn't want to go to the free throw line, and he's not going to take that jumper. Yeah, McLevin.
He's had 4 years of averaging 15 points a game, and now he's a 30-point-a-game scorer?
Well, I'm throwing 30 points. I think he thinks he's a 25-point-a-night guy. I think he thinks he's a 25-8-8.
On an 18-win team, maybe.
Well, I'm just saying that he's still 25-8-8.
What about the Kings? Like, he doesn't have a no-trade clause, so why don't
they don't. From what I'm told, they don't want to trade Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, okay. So they're holding out. Okay.
Yeah. And if I'm Philly, you know, do I want De'Aaron Fox? Does he help you?
What about like a Buddy Hield? Is he still there?
He's still there.
He's like, I feel like every team needs a Buddy Hield, outside shooter.
Everybody needs a Buddy. I love Buddy Hield.
But yeah, Halliburton.
I'd rather have Buddy Hield than Russell Westbrook if I'm the Lakers. But I do think Russ will help them during the regular season. We'll talk about this coming up. But I do think Russ helps them during the regular season because he can take a little wear and tear off LeBron. But in the postseason, that's where I want to see, is Russell Westbrook a winner? I know he's a guy who has a great stat line. Is he going to be that guy you go, Russell Westbrook, winner? More phone calls coming up. Final hour on the way. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Lane Kiffin will join us on the program tomorrow as well. Take a break. Back with the final hour after this.